This podcast is called Being Visible as a Taiwanese Canadian Woman. Hi, my name is Estella Jones, but I was born Estella Wu. I am currently a superintendent of student achievement in the Hamilton-Wentworth District School Board, but have had a variety of roles in this board as an educator, and have recently begun to reflect on how my background has influenced my experience as a leader in the board, and what impact I can make as a person of Asian descent. My parents were born and raised in Taiwan, a country in East Asia at the junction of the East and South China Seas, with China to the northwest, Japan to the northeast, and the Philippines to the south. They met in Canada in the 1960s and settled in the Hamilton region. When I first started school in kindergarten, I did not speak much English. Although both my parents could speak English, we spoke Taiwanese and Mandarin at home. I have fond memories of my experience at elementary school, but did always feel a little bit on the outside, as my brother and I were part of only a handful of students who were visible minorities. We ate different foods, we were told different stories, played different games, and we certainly looked different. Over time, we created our own family versions of celebrations like Thanksgiving and Christmas, and learned to appreciate and embrace both cultures as Taiwanese Canadians. But for the most part, my school life and home life were separate parts of myself. After teaching high school math for a number of years, I was looking for a change and felt that I could be effective as a department head. That was a challenging time for me. I applied and interviewed at 5 different schools over the course of 2 weeks and was turned down every time. A few years later, I applied to become a vice principal and had to apply 3 times before being accepted. In retrospect, I wonder how my race and culture might have influenced these experiences. I had been taught that modesty and quiet confidence were valued, and that respect is conveyed by looking downwards and answering questions succinctly. I know now how these tendencies can put one at a disadvantage, but it took me a long time to figure that out. When I think about it now, I wonder how or why I didn't lose hope or just give up. Since then, I have begun to feel more visible. Several students have approached me as a principal and as a superintendent to ask how I came to be in my position. I've had a little girl in grade 1 of Vietnamese descent say she wants to be a principal like me when she grows up. And I've had a group of grade 8 girls share their surprise and excitement when they learned that I was the, quote, boss. I have experienced this idea of being limited myself as an adult. I was in my 40s and I had resigned myself to my role as a principal until my retirement, which I was happy to do as I loved being in the schools. Having never seen an Asian in the role of a superintendent, I honestly did not believe that was an option. I felt that there would be no place at the table for me and did not pursue that as a consideration. It was only with direct encouragement from a respected leader in the organization did I allow myself to consider the possibility and believe that I could successfully take on the role as a superintendent. With the attention and conversation around equity, inclusion, bias, and barriers really taking a forefront these past few years, I am beginning to feel like I can have real conversations about my experiences in education as a student and as a professional to help shed some light on what it's like not to be part of the dominant group and to have parents who didn't grow up in the same education system and culture. Because I was different, I always felt I had to work harder, achieve greater success, and be nicer to be accepted. As I got older, I felt I had to protect my parents from racism and being taken advantage of even though they are both highly educated and competent. I wanted to shield them from being disrespected or looked down upon. At school, my parents would attend special events, but they didn't often participate in parent-teacher interviews. In Taiwan, like much of Asia, education is highly valued and teachers are deeply respected. When I heard teachers talking about how a student's family didn't care about their child's education because they didn't come to parent-teacher interviews, I was taken aback because I know my parents care deeply about education, but felt uncomfortable at the interviews and did not feel that there was any need to discuss anything because the teacher and schools were experts and would know what I needed and what was best for me. How often does this happen when we make judgments based on our own values, which are completely inaccurate? Instead of thinking about how to make my parents feel more included and welcome, were they written off as parents who didn't care about their child's success? Being new to the country, it was hard for my parents to navigate the system or advocate for me. We relied heavily on the school system to guide us and show us what and how to do things. And in retrospect, I know now that I have missed out on a number of opportunities because we didn't know where to look or what questions to ask at the time. So I'm finally at a point when I can take the two sides of my life, my professional and my personal, and begin to merge them. Rather than keeping my personal experiences private, I'm happy to use them in my work to help others see what it's like to live and navigate the world as a Taiwanese Canadian woman. I can use my experiences as a visible minority with parents who immigrated to the country and have influence now as a leader within the organization to help make changes that will allow even more students to feel valued, to achieve success, and to be seen. Thanks for listening.